All right, what is going on, everybody? Welcome back to another day of Saber Sims DFS Office Hours. Today is Saturday, January 18th of 2025, and looking ahead here, we have a ton of DFS action coming at you over the weekend, everything from NFL to NBA to NHL to MMA, as well as other sports, so it should be a fun weekend of DFS here. For those of you who are new here, welcome. My name is Andrew, one of the coaches over here at SaberSim. This is a show where we go over how to use the SaberSim app, answer any and all DFS-related questions. Get your questions in one of three ways here. First off, send us an email, support@sabersim.com. Second, post it live in the YouTube chat. Third way, post it in the Office Hours channel in our Discord server. If you're not in our Discord and want to get access to that channel, there is a link in the description of this video. You also get access to our similar channels, individual sport channels, and you get access to the rest of the SaberSim team. Just can't say enough good things about the Discord. But with that said, we do this show Monday through Friday, 4 p.m. Eastern, and then we do this show here on Saturdays at 12:30 p.m. Eastern. So tune in, get your questions answered. Appreciate you guys hanging out with me on a Saturday afternoon or Saturday morning, depending on where you are in the United States here. So with that said, let's get SaberSim up and we will jump into questions. We're going to pull up the four game NFL slate, use this as like our demo slate, and then we will just hit questions as they roll in. So Jay Sams Jr. said, let's go SaberSim. Let's go this weekend. Let's have some binks. We love that. All right. First question actually from Jay Sams Jr. said, if we were playing less than 10 lineups in a large field GPP, should we focus more on ownership or projections and upside of our players? Good question. You know, honestly, I really don't think about this differently. Like if I'm playing, you know, 10 lineups versus 20 versus 50 versus 150, my strategy really doesn't change. And the reason for that, right? You gotta remember this. When you are entering 150 lineups, for example, right? You are entering your best lineup first, and then your second best lineup and your third best lineup, right? And your second lineup is a little worse than the first, or else it would be, you know, higher ranked, right? So all you're doing when you are entering less than the maximum is you're basically just stopping. You're taking your lineups and you're like, you know what? Out of my top 150, I'm only going to play the top 10. I'm only going to play the top 5. However many lineups it ends up being, it doesn't matter. But what that means is that your process shouldn't change, right? So like, let's say we're building lineups. And, you know, let's do 5,000. Should be fine. All right, let's kick this off. And Jay Sams Jr. is on starter, so we'll use SaberScore for this example. Totally fine. All right, just waiting for lineups to finish. I should have done 500 lineups. I didn't think about it, but it's okay. We might end up needing more at some point anyways. All right. So let's say, you know, I'm playing 150 lineups, right? So what's the difference, right? Well, I'm on SaberScore. My lineups go to 150, right? Okay, cool. So like from my 150, I'm analyzing it. I'm making my adjustments, da-da-da-da-da. And then I'm ready to submit these, right? Playing 10 lineups is literally just going in here, doing the same process, but changing the lineups from 150 to 10 and then entering those, right? Because these are your 10 best lineups and we're just choosing not to play 11 through 150. Now what does change here? Like what actually changes? The only things that you need to be aware of are your exposures, your leverages, and your min unique differences, right? So if I have, you know, say I need 500 lineups out of 5,000. Well, my lineup to pool ratio, the amount of lineups I need versus the amount of lineups available is 10 to 1, right? If I do 500 times 10, that's 5,000, which is my pool. So it's a 10 to 1 ratio, right? If I need 50 lineups, for example, out of 5,000, now my lineup to pool ratio is 100 to 1. So what does that mean? Having a bigger lineup to pool ratio allows you to diversify more because you need less lineups from a bigger subset, right? From a larger sample. When you need less lineups, there is going to be more opportunity to diversify. So the biggest things that you need to be aware of when you're playing less lineups Because like, right. Like if I look at my top 150 here, okay, well my top exposure is 74% followed by 66 followed by 62. Right. Well, but then I change this to 10 from, you know, 150. Well, my top exposure is 100. My second is 80. My third is 80. Right. So those, projections kind of get amplified a little bit depending, like the players can, you know, be more exposed in your top 10 than they can be in like your whole 150. So that's something you want to look at, right? You want to like check your exposures, your leverages. You might want to circle back to min uniques, right? Maybe you came in here and you were like, hey, I'm going to, you know, find a min unique number that works for me. And like, maybe the number was 3 at 150. Well, I would go do that process over again. And chances are you're going to be able to get to 4. You're going to be able to get to 5 before you get too far down in your pool, before your average projection drops off a cliff or anything like that. Right. So those are the things that you want to be thinking about when you're entering less than the maximum. Whatever strategy you're using for large field, for, you know, 20 max, 150 max, you really shouldn't change it just because you're entering less. So I don't want to tell you. Completely throw everything out the window and just focus on ownership, right? Like, I don't want to tell you to do that because I think that's wrong. I don't think that's right at all. So stick with your process, and it's okay to just enter a subset of that larger number. All right, good stuff there. Next question. Since field lineups for contest sims are 20K lineups, do you think that they sufficiently account for dupes in contests less than 20K entrance for the ROI calculation, or do you still filter for dupes with something like GeoMean or Summone? Okay, so this is kind of interesting. Because I actually think about this like almost opposite. So what they're saying, if I'm reading the question correctly, is, hey, you know, if the field lineups have 20,000 lineups in it, do you think that duplication is accounted for properly for contests less than 20K? I would 100% say yes to that. I would actually be more worried about like the latter, which is like, do I think that the 20K fields properly account for duplication if the field is 100,000, 200,000, you know, however big these contests get. So let's just focus on the question at first, right? So do I think that duplication is properly accounted for in contests less than 20K? The answer for me is yes. And the reason for that, right, is just because the field has 20K lineups, when your contest has less, let's say your contest has 5,000 entries, right? We are not using the whole 20K each time we run your sim. We are sampling the 20K. We are picking 5,000 out, running the contest sim, getting the results, putting the results away for contest sim one, and then we put the field lineups back, and then we select a new 5,000, and you know, the combinations are going to be different, but lineups are going to be overlapped within each contest sim because there's only so many to go around and we're running it so many times. So what I think is actually really cool about that process is that you get a little bit of ownership variance, right? Because we don't actually know how many times this lineup is going to be duplicated. It could be 5, it could be 4, it could be 3, right? Ownership even has like a little bit of a spectrum, right? Player could come in projected for 30% and could come in 33, 27, you know, there's kind of some margin for error on both sides. Well, when you are taking a subset of 5,000 from 20,000 each time you're on the contest sims, the ownership is going to be slightly different and the duplication is going to be slightly different. Now, how this works out well is because we're doing the contest sim 100,000 times, the range, this, you know, spectrum of ownership ends up getting smoothed out over such a large sample size. So it's like, okay, you know, we have some contest sims where the player was this much owned, some contest sims where they're that much owned, you know, they kind of settle on this number, which is probably going to be right near their ownership projection. And then the dupes kind of settle here as well, right? But then the dupes will be on the spectrum too. So I actually think the contest sim does a really good job with contests that are under. For contests over, I mean, personally, guys, like, you know, I'm not a data scientist. I really like to use like geometric mean when the contests get like a lot bigger. You know what I mean? Just because that geo mean calculation, one of the variables is the size of your contest, right? So for me, I know I am directly taking into account the size of my contest with the geo mean calculation. And I think it's useful. You know what I mean? So the dupes are supposed to scale linearly. Like if, you know, lineup is projected for 10 dupes in the 20K field, then, you know, our backtesting is like comfortable saying like, hey, the lineup is, can expect like 50 dupes, you know, at like 100K. That's good. That's fine. You know, if you want to like set like some dupe metric, right? So if it's like, okay, hey, I'm playing 100K entry contest. Maybe I don't want to play dupes more than 20. So I'm going to set a filter for dupes no more than 4, which would be if you do 4 times 5, that's 20. And then if you do 20 times 5, that's 100,000. So I'm basically trying to like scale my dupes, my dupe filter to the size of my contest. That's a fine way to do it if you want to do it that way. It can be a little hard to like match those numbers maybe if you're like not writing them down. But I think both can be useful, right? You can do dupes metrics. You could do geo mean stuff. So, but that is talking a little bit outside the scope of the question here. But I did want to talk about both. So hope that helps. All right, next question. Hi, Andrew. I hope you are doing well. I'm doing a lot better these days. I'm really enjoying the content you're producing. Thank you. It's been incredibly helpful. I was hoping you could provide some guidance on how to set up a rule that ensures I have a certain number of low-owned players in my lineups. For instance, if I wanted to guarantee that each lineup contains at least 3 players with under 10% ownership, could you walk me through how you would approach this? Whenever I try to implement this rule, I often find that the settings are too restrictive, and then I end up with no viable lineups. Your input would be greatly appreciated. Thanks. Yeah, absolutely. So question is right here. It says, I want to guarantee that each lineup contains at least 3 players with ownership under 10%. Okay, so we could do that. First thing I would probably do is just like come in here and look at what this range is. And like players that are falling in this range. You basically want to just kind of get an idea like, hey, are there enough viable options for the range that I'm trying to target? And I would say so. You know, this 4-game slate, probably a little bit easier to find something like that as opposed to like the 2-game slate, right? You might have a little bit more trouble doing that on like a 2-game slate. So I would just like come in here and like see how many players there are like in that range. But here it looks like there's more than enough viable options. So I'm pretty comfortable doing this rule here. So I would go to rules. Let's make sure these aren't on. Okay. Let's go to add new rule. We're going to go to group automatic, use at least 3. And then all we're going to do, we're going to leave group by unchecked here. Very, very important. Leave group by unchecked. And then go to requirements, go to add requirement. And then in this option, we're going to say my own less than, and then we'll say 10. So then when I do this, right, and I'll save it as a manual rule so I could show it off. When I do that, what it's going to do is it's going to go and grab all the players under 10% owned, put them in one big group, and then say use at least 3 of these players. Now, it looks like there's a lot of players because these include players that have no projection, which they won't end up in your lineups. But totally fine to just normally save this as an auto rule. I just saved it as a manual rule so I could show it off a little bit. But that is the rule you want to set. Give that a shot. I don't think you should run into any issues using it. If you do, shoot us a message. Go to the top right. Go to report a problem. Just let us know the issue you're having. Click submit, and that will go to our support team, and we can get back to you from there. All right. So far, so good. Taking a peek in the Discord here. And a couple extra questions rolling in there. So let's get those queued up and we will keep answering questions. All right. Two more questions on deck. And the next question is there a way I could set a rule that will manage the projections of one player when using their counterpart? For example, I have a lot of lineups with both Lions running backs on FanDuel. Is there any way I can manage the projection of Montgomery if they are in a lineup with Gibbs so they won't show up as much in the same lineup? So there's a couple ways you could do this. There is not a way to do exactly what you're describing where it's like, hey, if Gibbs, you know, lower Montgomery projection by like 10% or something like that, just the sequencing doesn't work that way, unfortunately. So the first thing I would probably do is just go and look at what their correlations are. So if I go in here and I go and I click on Gibbs, and then I come in here and I look. So they're positively correlated, okay? So it's small. It is small. So one thing that you could do, right? I'm just going to go through a bunch of different options, is you could lower the correlation slider. So going from 2 to 1 or even 0 here can help you to get less of them. Since they are positively correlated, if you lower the impact of correlation, that could lead to them ending up in less lineups together. So that's one way to do it, right? Another way would be to use the favorites option, right? Which is this star icon. So let's say I need 20 lineups, right? And I'm okay with having them in the same lineup in 5, but I don't want them in the same lineup in the other 15, right? Well, then what I could do is I could set a rule. And then I would set a rule where I would say group auto, I would change use to if. Actually, I would do group manual, use to if. And then I would say if at least 1, then use exactly 0. And then I would say, if at least 1 of Gibbs or Montgomery, click save, then use, actually, I think you're going to have to do this. I think you're going to have to do this one at a time. So if at least 1, then use exactly 0. So if at least 1 Gibbs, then use exactly 0 Montgomery. And then I think you would have to rewrite the rule the opposite way. You could try to add both to here. I'm not sure if it'll work. So, but this would be one way of doing it, right? So if at least 1, then use exactly 0. So this is like an all or nothing, right? Rules never are like, hey, apply this rule to 20% of my lineups or something like that. It's either 100 or it's either 0. So what I would do is I would do this rule. I would save it. And then I would run my 15 lineups in this build. And then when I'm done with them, I would click save to favorites. The 10, well, this is 10. I said 15, but it doesn't matter. These lineups are going to go to this favorites tab where, you know, obviously you know that the rule is being applied. And then you can go do another build, send those lineups to the favorites, and then combine them into a bigger pool, combine them into a contest. You know, maybe you have 220 unique lineups and you're only okay with, you know, 50 of them having the combination. So then you do, you know, 50 lineups regular, you do 170 lineups with the rule on, you combine them and then you let them go where they go, right? Or however you decide to do that. But one of those two options are probably the way you're going to have to go about it. The correlation one does not guarantee that they're going to end up in less lineups together, but it does, you know, lower the chances since we are lowering the impact of correlation. The favorites option, probably a little bit better, probably going to be a little bit more direct and have the impact that you're trying to achieve. All right, good stuff there. Next question on a typical NFL slate. Let's say after the 1 p.m. games, your lineups are doing poorly and not likely to win. If you run late swap before the 4 p.m. games, in theory, it will swap some players to more volatile, low-owned players, salvage some min caches. Do you think after the slate is all done, this would lead your lineups to grade out worse in the post-contest sim? Interesting question. I would say probably not. And The reason I'm thinking that is because effectively what you're trying to do at any point is increase the ROI of your lineups from that point on, right? So it's not to say that like you're doing anything bad to your lineups. You're not. You're just trying to increase the ROI from that point on. Now, what I've noticed, and I've seen some users say this, right? They're like, hey, you know, my lineups weren't doing that good, and SaberSim was still putting, you know, higher owned players in my lineups. Like, why is that? You know? And honestly, I sometimes think like, hey, you know, these guys who might even have a little bit more ownership, they just grade out so well and do perform so well in the Sims that like they actually help your min cash percentage, right? Because like take somebody like Terry McLaurin, right? I'm just gonna act like this like a two game slate. It's a little bit easier demo. So let's get rid of the Sunday games. You know, Texans Chiefs play, and you know, maybe your lineups don't do that good. And then now, you know, last game of the night is Commanders Lions. Well, even though McLaurin is, you know, 32% owned, right? A little bit like on like the higher side. I mean, there are still 68% of lineups that don't have him. And most of these lineups, most of these contests, you know, the cashing rate is like 20 to 25%. So it's not to say you need to go and play, you know, a bunch of, you know, 5% owned players in order to cash. You don't. Like, cashing is just getting over the money, right? So you could be playing 20% owned players. You could be playing, you know, 19% owned players, 18% owned. And if those players do well enough, that can get you close enough to the cash line, right? So I personally don't think that SaberSim, in my experience from what I've seen, is seeing that your lineups didn't perform well and going and putting in a bunch of, you know, low value 1 to 5% owned players. I think you're still getting to good plays. I think that the amount that your lineups need to change in order to get to more min cash potential is not so impactful that it is going to just absolutely ruin your post contest sim ROI results. Now, you could run a test, right? You could do something where it's like, I'm going to play 220 maxes. You know, maybe I'm going to play like a dime time and the quarter jukebox. And in one of them, I am going to late swap. And then one of them, I am not going to late swap. And then you could see how your ROIs do in the post contest sim and compare them, right? But I think enough people are late swapping. And I think that if it were bad, people wouldn't want to late swap as much. So I don't think it's bad at all. All right. Next question, Demetrius, can you do an NFL showdown and main slate build? Sure thing. So let's do the main slate since we're here, right? So we'll just open up a fresh build here. So just going to make my two adjustments to projections to unlock build lineups. Personally, here on like a four-game slate, I would probably use actually, I'm going to take that back. Don't use players against opposing D. I'm probably okay with it. I might put in a rule that says if at least one team's quarterback, then use exactly zero on the opposing team for defenses. I might run this rule today on a four-game slate. I would probably not run that rule on a two-game slate. I would actually be okay with that. Because it's kind of interesting, right? I always think about this. If a quarterback throws like a pick six or something, right? In my opinion, that actually like helps them more than like the opposing quarterback. Because what happens is like, say, you know, CJ Stroud throws like a pick six, right? Well, that's usually like -1 point for the interception, which isn't super impactful. And then Mahomes effectively like skips a possession because he doesn't get the ball. And then the Stroud gets like the ball like right back again, right? So I could see that being more viable probably on like a two game slate, but on like a four game slate, I'm actually comfortable like running this rule. So I might run that rule today. So put the rule on. I'm going to just put something here for like show players with projection greater than zero. So got a filter rule, couple projection adjustments, ready to run my lineups, right? So I'm just going to run like 5,000, click build. Now, while this is running, I'm going to go set up a contest sim. Looks like I was demoing something. All right. Now, let's just go set up a contest sim for the $3.20 max. Seems like a good contest here. I'm going to switch the field lineups to flagship since the prize pool is above 25K here. Okay, go back to build three. Let's get rid of some of these other ones. And we will clear our favorites. All right. So far, so good. Build three. Loading lineups right now. So we are going to kick off our contest sim right now. Let me do a hard refresh real quick. Excuse me. All right. Going to run my contest sim. And just a quick note, when I loaded this, the sim button was grayed out. If you run into that, just hard refresh, Control-Shift-R, Command-Shift-R, depending on if you're on Windows or Mac, should clear out any issues with that and then allow you to run the contest sim again. So contest sim should switch to ROI automatic. If you have an entries file, you don't need to do anything else. If you are using a manual contest sim like I am, you have to go change it to the manual one. So I did that. 20 lineups. This was for the $3.20 max. Sorting by exposure. Good. Now it's a good opportunity to start, you know, analyzing my lineups. Got an average projection metric. Going to add an average ROI one. So average projection, 136.2. Average ROI, 142.6. Great. Going to start boosting this up. Jump to three. Slightly changes. Aggregate metrics, cool. Going to go to four. A little more impact here. Getting close to stopping, potentially. So a big jump from four to five, right? Average projection goes down almost 3 points, and then ROI went down about like 20 additional percent there. So I would start my analysis here, right? Like, okay, what does four uniques look like? Well, you know, what do my leverages look like? Couple big leverages, big leverage on Laporta, some big leverage on like Hollywood Brown, some big leverage on like Dalton Schultz. One, two, three, four, like four players above like 20%. Okay. Well, what does five look like? All right. Only one player above 20%, which is Laporta. All the other players in single digit or like 10 to 20 range. I mean, honestly, this kind of looks good to me. You know, I am sacrificing a lot more projection and ROI to get to these exposures, but I like these exposures, you know? So you kind of got to figure out what works for you, you know, what exposures and leverages, you know, speak to you the most, right? For me, it was five here. Sometimes it might be four. Sometimes for somebody else, it's going to be three, two, one. It doesn't matter. But this is kind of the process you want to follow. Once you're happy with those lineups, you can click save and you'll be all set. So that's how I'd be building lineups for Classic. And then we can jump over to Showdown. All right. So going to be pretty similar to start here. Couple of projection adjustments. One thing I like to lower minimum salary. So I'm somebody okay with playing lower salary lineups for Showdown. So I'm going to click change my min from 45K to 40K. Going to click build lineups. Going to go set up a contest sim in the meantime. We'll do $3.20 max again. All right. And then we will jump back to our build. Let these lineups finish. Lineups are loading. Gonna move some columns around in the meantime. And gonna check office hours while we wait. All right. At least one additional question in office hours. So let's load that up. Office hours. All right. Got that next question queued up. I'm going to try a hard refresh here. All right, lineup's loaded. So I'm going to kick my contest sim. If you don't have contest sim, single game saber score is the best sorting metric to use. So I would stick with that. Now we said this is for the $3.20 max. Okay. So again, so from this point on, it's going to be a lot familiar to like what we did elsewhere, right? We're coming in here. We're looking at our aggregate metrics. We're looking at our exposures and leverages. We're trying to balance it out, make sure we're comfortable with everything we're seeing. And then settle on, you know, values that that we like, right? So you can use Miniuniques if you want. It's definitely okay. You're just going to get to a lower number since there are less players in your lineups, less players in your player pool. Like we were at 5 uniques, right? There's no way we're going to get to 5 uniques out of a 6-player lineup here. Very, very unlikely. But I would come in here and look, right? Like, okay, what do my exposures and leverages look like? Pretty flat, except for Patrick Mahomes, right? Patrick Mahomes is the only player here that I'm getting a lot of exposure to. And then over on the flex side of things, Dalton Schultz, Chiefs D. You know, we're under on Mahomes flex because we're high on his captain, so those things like kind of balance out. But there are only like a very small number of leverages and things that I'm, you know, that I would consider like high. So, you know, what you could do is you could try to use uniques, you know, go from 1 to 2. What impact does that have? So 15% ROI down, small, less than 1 average projection point down. But it does flatten out my leverages quite significantly at the captain. So I kind of like the way that the impact that had. And then it also lowers some of the biggest leverages I had as well for flex players. So 1 to 2 unique is honestly all I needed here to have a nice smoothing out effect with my exposures and leverages. And I would leave it. So I'd be ready to rock and roll. Can click save and go from there. All right. Jay Sam Jr. said, if you set a rule, do you have to set the rule for every slate or is there a way to have that rule stay as a permanent rule for my builds? Good question. So if you go to your rules and you know, say I always want to use this rule. If I turn it on and I star the rule, if you star the rule, it will always be active for future slates. If you don't star it, then whatever rule is here, you will have to come in and turn it on manually each time. Now there, So that's what you want to focus on there. I had some other idea, but hey, I don't think it'll end up working the way I wanted it to. So just use that star, and the rule will be on for future slates. All right, good stuff there. And looks like we are all caught up here in the YouTube chat and Office Hours channel. So appreciate you guys tuning in. Good luck in all of your contests this weekend. I will see you all on Monday for Office Hours. So until then, take care. Thanks. Bye.